Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh I don't care. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ونسلم على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين الحمد لله أضعف ما حمده جميع خلقه كما يحبه ويرضاه اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح اللهم اجعلنا دعاة إليك وإلى رسولك اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا القرآن الحكيم ربنا زدنا علما ربنا زدنا علما ربنا زدنا علما Topic today is the path of Allah is for the weak also, not just for the strong, but even for the weak people. The path of Allah is for the weak also. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanawi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, wa nawwara Allahu marqadahu wa nafa'ana bi ulumihim ameen, said, if someone increases his daily devotional exercises in the month of Ramadan, and does not expect to abide by them thereafter, then it is not a contravention of regularity. For he had no intention of carrying them on. We also see in a hadith that the Nabi's deeds, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Ramadan increased. So if after Ramadan there are less deeds, it's not a problem, because even the Nabi used to increase his devotion in Ramadan. This is from Anfasi Isa. Regular practice must be observed. The Sufis, religious elders, and ulama agree that the religious practice that one sets aside for himself must be maintained with punctuality. He may propose a little exercise, but he must be regular at it. This is more rewarding than a large dose that lacks regularity. The elders always suggest a small exercise that is easy to maintain. Conclusion drawn from hadith. The stress is laid down because if anyone pursues optional deeds only to give them up again, then it is conducive of withdrawal of blessing. It borders on the unlawful. This is deduced from a hadith which says that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, Ya Abdullah, la takun mithla fulan. Kana yakumu min al-layl, fataraka qiyam al-layl. Ya Abdullah, la takun mithla fulan. كَانَ يَكُومُ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَرَقَ قِيَامَ اللَّيْلِ O Abdullah, Do not be like that man who was accustomed to observe tahajjud, but gave it up. So you start something, even though it is small, but continue it. Hadith from Bukhari, Kitab al-Tahajjud. Ya Abdullah, la takun mithla fulan, kana yakumu min al-layl, fataraka qiyam al-layl. This hadith disallows a man to give up an optional worship after beginning it. So once you begin something, this hadith disallows a man to give up any nafil deed after beginning it. Once you start it, you should maintain it, but always do something small which is easy to maintain. The optional becomes wajib. It is Imam Abu Hanifa's contention, Rahmatul Alayh, that as long as an optional task has not begun, it is not wajib, and it is not a sin to neglect it. But once it is begun, it is wajib to observe it. For example, if you wish to offer nafil salat, supererogatory salat, nafil salat, you will not be questioned why you did not offer it, because it's nafil. But if you form an intention to offer two rakats, it is not allowed then to neglect them. If you form a niyat to offer two rakats of salat, and you say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and you start it, it is wajib on you to complete the two rakats. It is not allowed then to neglect them at all. But before that, it was optional. If you suspend it without an excuse, then that is sinful. But if you have a reason, then it is not sinful. Nevertheless, it is wajib to redeem it in either case, though that was an optional salah. Maulana Tanwi, Rahmatul Alayh, has said that the same principle applies to devotional exercises that one binds oneself to perform. It becomes wajib, says Maulana Tanwi, it becomes wajib to observe them once a person initiates them. Just like the salat, it becomes wajib once you have started them. Difficult to maintain them. However, we must understand what it means to give up the regular practice. People have a wrong conception of that. They suppose that if they miss their practice one day, then that is a sin. Maulana Tanwi, Rahmatul Alayh, has suggested a solution for that. I have not found it elsewhere, and it is a great solace, said Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatuhum. The true meaning, it does not mean that one cannot omit the practice occasionally. If one misses it occasionally, then that is not the same as giving it up. Rather, to give it up means that a man resolves not to observe it anymore. And that resolution revokes his earlier resolution to observe it regularly. It is then that it attracts application of the hadith, La takun mithla fulanin. Don't be like so-and-so person, who Abdullah. Kana yakumu min al-layl. He used to get up for tahajjud. Fataraka qiyam al-layl. But he left out qiyam al-layl. It will thus also attract punishment against giving it up. It will attract punishment against giving it up. But if someone chalks out the practice and misses it someday, for some reason, a genuine excuse or even laziness, then that does not mean that he has given it up. No. No punishment will accrue because he intends to carry it on. He intends to carry it on, but just one day he couldn't do it. The Maulana thus simplified matters for us. Otherwise, that seemed very fearful, but Maulana made it very simple for us. increasing the practice in Ramadan. Another question that worries many is the introduction of additional practice in Ramadan. In this month, not only is one more inclined to observe it, but he also has plenty of opportunity to perform more deeds. Will stopping that after Ramadan imply that the foregoing hadith applies on the person? Will his blessings be withdrawn? We'll do it only in Ramadan. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayh said that there is no harm in not carrying on the additional devotional exercises one observes in Ramadan after the month is over. There is no harm. These may be extra observances of Salah, Quran recital, or any other virtuous deed. When performing them in Ramadan, one may say to oneself that he would observe regularity only in the month of Ramadan and make no resolve for perpetual observance. It will thus not become part of his regular practices and no damage is done if it is stopped after Ramadan. Ramadan is different. We can't do ibadat like we do it in Ramadan. It's different. Meaning of the hadith. The Mawlana also cited a hadith in support of the foregoing solution. Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yajtahidu fil ashril awakir ma la yajtahidu fi ghayrihi. Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yajtahidu fil ashril awakir مَا لَا يَجْتَهِدُ فِي غَيْرِهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put in so much effort in the last 10 days of Ramadan as he did not in the normal days. So that's profound dalil from Muslim, Kitabul I'tikaf. He always made more worship in Ramadan. And Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said about the last 10 days of Ramadan. She said, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha dakala al-ashra shadda ma'zarahu wa ahya laylahu wa ayqadha ahlahu. Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha dakala al-ashra shadda ma'zarahu وَأَحْيَا لَيْلَهُ وَأَيْقَضَ أَهْلَهُ. In Ramadan, he tightened his izar. He tightened his lungi. That is to be able to increase in worship. It's a figurative statement. And kept vigil in the night. And he woke up the members of his household also in the last 10 nights. Thus, from these adilla and dalils, there is no harm in increasing the devotional practices in Ramadan. However, one must form an intention accordingly and not resolve to give them perpetuality. You know what? A little from the week is enough. The Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayh has said also, the greater deed of the strong is matched by the lesser of the weak. Allahu Akbar. The greater deed of the strong is matched by the lesser of the weak. Inshallah, the weak will succeed from his little effort and Faseh Isa. It's just like a millionaire who's given plenty of money, but a man is a pauper. All he has is 100. And he gives $10 from that 100. That's plenty. A man may be strong and therefore able to put in more worship. Another man is weak and cannot do more deeds. Yet his little effort has the same result as the other's greater effort. A man may make such worship, but in the sight of Allah, it has no position A man may do plenty, but in the sight of Allah, it has no position. Plenty and little have no reality in His eyes. In Allah's eyes, plenty and little have no reality in His eyes. The real thing is ikhlas. That's the real thing. Sincerity. That's what He looks at, the heart and intention. That's the real thing. Sincerity, ikhlas, and niyyah, intention. We read in the Holy Quran, الذي خلق الموت والحياة. He, Allah, the one who is blessed, of course, and great and esteemed, is the one who created death and life. Why? ليبلوكم, that He may test you. أيكم أحسن عملا, which of you is best in deeds? Which of you is best in conduct? Whose amal is the best? Not plenty and little, but whose amal is the best? A man may do 1,000 rakats of salat. That may mean nothing in the eyes of Allah. And a man may do 2 rakats, but that 2 rakats is ahsan, good. This is what Allah looks at. Niyat, intention, and ikhlas, sincerity. Allah has asked for the best. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ أَمَلًا. Allah has asked for the best. Not much. He didn't say أَكْثَرُ أَمَلًا, Abdullah. But He said what? أَحْسَنُ أَمَلًا. This calls for sincerity. Hence, if a man does something sincerely for the sake of Allah, but being weak, his deeds are few, then Allah will bestow reward on him even on the little effort. Let's take the case of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, the great muhaddis, the great scholar, who was Ustadul Asatiza, who was the teacher of the teachers of Imam al-Bukhari, and who was the shagird and student of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayhi. My respected father, sometimes things are repeated because al-ilmu bit-takrar, knowledge is true, repetition. My respected father, that is Mufti Shafi, rahmatullah alayhi, often narrated to us that when Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullah alayhi, stood up on the roof of his house to offer tahajjud, his neighbors said that he looked like a fixed wooden pole without any sensation. Wow. When he died, someone saw him in his dream and asked him how he fared. He said that Allah had been very kind to him, but he was unable to match the rank of the blacksmith, the ironsmith, who lived opposite his house. The man who had seen this dream was surprised that someone unknown, who is the blacksmith? Unknown, majhul fil arb. Someone unknown had outpaced such a great alim like Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, such a great scholar, exegete, and jurist, who was a Sufi too. He was a great mufassir. He was a great alim. He was a great mufassir. He was a great faqih, a jurist. And he was also a Sufi. A Sufi too, a waliullah. And the blacksmith passed him and gone. So this man who had the dream, he went to the ironsmith's house to find out what deed of his allowed him to overtake the alim. His wife said that her husband did not offer much optional salat or make zikr to an unusual number. But what was the thing there? Niyat, intention, and ikhlas. A niyat, an intention, a tamanna, a desire, a longing. Sometimes, you know what? You may not be able to read Yasin in the morning because of something, but your heart is there and you're longing to worship. However, he did say to her, That is, the blacksmith did say to his wife now and then that if Allah had given him as much opportunity as he, Allah, had given to Abdullah ibn Mubarak, then he too would have kept awake all night and worship Allah as much. So he had that tamanna, that desire, that longing, that niyat. And the other thing that he had, which granted him that position, was something we should pay attention to. Respect for the adhan. Respect for the adhan. The second thing he did was that whenever he heard the adhan, he stopped his work instantly. If he had raised his hand with a hammer to strike the nail, or even to strike the iron, he held it back. And he threw the hammer. He didn't even continue with it. Wow. He prepared himself for the salah. So except for these two things, he did not do anything else extraordinary. Thus, his longing to be able to match a great effort won him Allah's pleasure, and Allah let him overtake Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak rahmatul alayh. Thus, the little effort of a weak person sometimes equals the greater effort of a stronger person and sometimes outpaces it. Longing is a wealth. My respected father, Mufti Shafi, who was the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, rahmatul alayh, therefore said often that longing for the unavailable could turn out to be a great wealth. And it is an excellent thing. Like the quote, "Uhibbu as-salihin wa lastu minhum," that I love the pious people, but I am not of them, but I wish I could be like them. "Uhibbu as-salihin," I love the pious people, "wa lastu minhum," but I am not of them, but I wish I could be like them. So this longing could turn out to be a great wealth. And it is an excellent thing, this tamanna, this desire and longing. For a man to long to be able to worship as another who is devoted to Allah may earn him Allah's pleasure and thus great success. Allah is God and Lord of everyone, strong or weak. That's deep, eh? He's the God and the Lord of everyone, strong or weak, healthy or sickly, young or old. So a weak person must present whatever little worship he can offer and ask Allah for a full reward. Wama jahdal maqda illa damu. The effort of the eye is only tears. Wama jahdul maqd illa dumu. He may say offering that Allahumma hadhal jahdu wa alayka tuklan. Oh Allah, this is the effort I could offer, but my reliance is on you. Allahumma hadhal jahdu wa la, this is the jahad, this is the mujahada, this is the little effort that I could do. Wa alayka tuklan, but my reliance is on you. Should we look for defect in our deeds or for the vastness of Allah's mercy? Stop examining yourself. Dr. Abdul Hay, who was the Sheikh of Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, Dr. Abdul Hay Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, give up examining yourself. How long will you say about yourself, I am such, I am such, I am such, my deeds are like that, my deeds are like that. Rather, look at his mercy. Look at his rahmah. See how it covers up man. Straightforward speaking, my grandfather, Maulana Muhammad Yasin Rahmatullah Alayh, was a class fellow of Maulana Tanwi. They were students together. He was a classmate of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi and had sworn allegiance and took the bayat to Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi, being his close disciple. That's my grandfather. Close disciple of Maulana Rashid Ahmad. I have the letters written to him by the respected Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi and Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Alayhi Muhajiri Makki. When my father graduated from the Darul Uloom, my grandfather advised him to seek company of a man of Allah. And my grandfather took him to Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi at Tana Bawan, which you visited, Tana Bawan. My father told him the truth. He said, "Maulana, I had intended to offer allegiance to the Sheikh ul Hind, who was Maulana Mahmudul Hassan, Rahmatullah Alayh. But he is on a journey, and we must not procrastinate on a good deed, so I have come to you." Maulana Thanvi said, "There is no harm in that. You begin your task now, and when the Sheikh ul Hind, Maulana Mahmudul Hassan, comes, you may swear allegiance and bayat with him. Allah's path is for all." My father submitted to Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi that he hesitated to go to a man of Allah because he was weak. My father, Mufti Shafi, submitted to Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi that he hesitated to go to a man of Allah because he was weak and could not engage in much mujahada and devotional exercises. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi exclaimed, "What an amazing thing you say. Is Allah only for the strong? Can only they reach Allah who are strong? We will give you only that much to do as is within your ability. Everyone is not treated with one prescription." He then instructed him to observe certain tasks. "The weak is not deprived. The weak is never deprived. Only he is deprived who has misdeeds against his name, who is negligent. Even a little deed from the weak will take him to his goal, inshallah." A weak Sahabi's example. Some poor Sahaba explained to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They said, "The rich among us give much sadaqah and charity, so they earn high ranks, for each grain in sadaqah fetches them reward 700 times. We do not have wealth to match them, and we are left behind. What should we do?" The Tasbih Fatima. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "I will teach you a thing which, if you do, will take you ahead of them, and those who follow you will not be able to reach you. I will teach you a thing which, if you do, it will take you ahead of them, and those who follow you will not be able to even reach you. After every salah, say Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times. Tasbih Fatima. You will overtake them." Now, though the deed is small, yet they have a longing in their hearts to be able to do a pious work. So Allah bestows His favor. Because they had a longing, if they had such wealth, they would do it too. Do your piece. So no one should lose heart because of his weakness. Rather, he must do what he can. My father, Rahmatullah Alayh, used to say, "What is worth writing in gold?" He used to say something that is worth writing in gold. He said, do your peace and Allah will do his. Write that in gold. Do your peace and Allah will do his. Look at Prophet Nabi Yusuf. Ala nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Sayyiduna Yusuf alayhi salam was invited to commit sin by Zulaika. She was invited to commit sin by her. He knew that the doors were locked and the exit was shut off. And she was a woman of status, of wealth, of beauty. He knew that the doors were locked and the exit was shut off. But when he was being compelled to submit, he ran. He did what he could have done. He ran towards the doors, even though they were locked and the exit was cut off. He ran towards the doors and said to Allah, this is all I could do to keep away from sin. This is all I could do to keep away from sin. The rest is in your hand. As-sa'yu minna wal-itmam min Allah. The rest is in your hand. When he did his piece of work, Allah did his piece too. He broke the locks and the doors were open. Allahu Akbar. He broke the locks and the doors were open. So you do your piece and let Allah do his piece. Do run at least. At least do run. Mawlana Jalaluddin Ar-Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi has said about it in the Mathnawi. Although you may not find an opening or a passage in this world, said Mawlana Rumi, although you may not find an opening or a passage in this world, and you do not know how to escape from indecency and sin, yet you must do as Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam did. Run, run, run as much as you can. When you will do that, Allah will make a way out of it for you. If you contribute your share, He, Allah, will put in His bit. If you contribute your share, He will put in His bit. Same principle. As-sa'yu minna wal-itmam min Allah. This principle is worth inscribing on the heart. It is worth inscribing on the heart. A lesson given case. My respected father used to relate an incident about the 1857 Freedom Jihad, which was in 1857. The Englishmen oppressed the Muslims in the year 1857. It was a Freedom Jihad. One Muslim was surrounded in his house by the enemy, by the Englishmen, the Britons. He could not go out, for that would spell sure death, and he was alone in the house, and his house is surrounded by the enemy. Could not go out, for that would spell sure death, and he was alone in the house. He was famished, having nothing to eat or drink. Many days passed away in this manner. He became so weak that he could not even get up. Finally, he thought that he must do something because man was bound to try. Man was bound to try. There was a bowl near him. While lying down, he pushed the bowl slowly to the courtyard. There he prayed, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, this was all I could do. This was all I could do. I have brought the bowl here. And he pushed it slowly to the courtyard. This is all I could do. I have brought the bowl here. Only you can send the clouds and then the rain. Otherwise, you know what, O Allah? I will die. I will die of thirst. In a little while, there was lightning and thunder. There were clouds and rain fell. Rain fell down. The bowl was full of water and he drank it. But he did what he did his peace and Allah did his peace. Asa'yu minna walit ma min Allah. Synopsis, the gist of what we have said. When man does that which is in his power and calls to Allah for help, saying that he did what he could and Allah may do the rest, then Allah showers his mercy on him. Hence those who are weak must not lose hope. They must contribute their share according to their ability and then hope for Allah's mercy. Inshallah, they will attain the goal. May Allah enable us to abide by these teachings. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh I don't care. This is who I am, this is me. Nothing, everything, can't you see?